B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on a Wednesday. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
I'm just peachy. Thank you so much. We got Big Jim Murray in our update studio. As usual, we come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. And we're talking Patriots-Chiefs. I have a question for the group. Okay. So, obviously, weather, a big topic in this game and a big factor. And this week, I think it's worth talking about. Last week, I didn't feel it during the week. And then we got to game day, and I don't think weather was a big factor in that game. It just wasn't. If it's in the 20s and no wind, I'm sorry, that's just not, that's on artificial turf, that's really not a weather day.
I think it was a complete non-factor.
Me too. And I sort of felt that going in. You know, did it affect the Chargers? I mean, it might have. It shouldn't have, because it really wasn't bad. This week is different. This week I'm giving cringe. When you get below 5...
I'd say anything in single digits.
When you get into that range and it's supposed to be windy, then you're talking a real game changer. So the weather is a real game changer and a real factor this week. So we all know that. We're all talking about it. I embrace it. I accept it this week for sure. Weather an issue. But here's what I want to ask you. Do you like that weather's an issue?
Love them. I love these games.
Do you like weather games as a fan watching them? Do you like them as a fan who's interested in competitive football and the best team winning and all of that? Do you like weather games that totally change the nature of the game?
Yep, love them.
Why?
Love them. Because I think a game like this, to me, what they do is they test the versatility of the team, for one. And B, more importantly, and this is the bigger point to me, they test mental toughness. That's what they do. They test mental toughness. You're going to go out there and freeze your ass off. And there's a huge difference between playing in 20-degree weather and playing in 6-degree weather or 5-degree weather.
This is my point.
Massive, massive difference. And so those games, I absolutely love them. I think that those end up being some of the classics, for crying out loud, because you look at them and go, oh, my God, how are these guys staying on the field?
Okay, but and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly will be on here in a little bit. I'll let him say it in his own words. But I think he feels this way. I've heard him talk about this in the past. And his point is he doesn't like them. He hates them. And here's the reason, that it's not an accurate gauge of what each team is.
I would agree with that.
Right? I mean, so...
Because I ultimately don't like them because I think it slows down the game. I really do. The temperature this low, it reminds me again of the Patriots-Titans game from 2003 where it's just survive. You know, what was that? 3-point, 17-14 that game? So... I don't know. Like, if that game was 30 degrees, I think you see a higher scoring affair and a better football game.
So it's really not an accurate... Well, let me say, in one respect, it's not an accurate gauge of who these teams are. Kansas City's built a certain way. They've played a certain way. They're constructed a certain way. And now they get to a game where they can't really play that way. The Patriots, to a lesser degree, are built similarly through their quarterback in the passing game. And... They're built on turf. They're built to, you know, play a certain way. And now in this game, they're not going to be able to play that way. Now you have two teams. So you have two of the best four offenses in football in this game, where when they last played in totally normal conditions, it was 43-40. Now you're going to have a game where who the hell knows, and it's a whole different game. Is that fair? Do you like that?
I love it. I do, and I'm not BSing you. Like, honestly, I don't need the 43-40 games. I've said this all the time. Football to me is a game of toughness. That's what it is. And so, I understand there's a skill element to it. I get all of that. But if the Chiefs can't play a cold weather game or the Patriots can't play a cold weather game, that's their problem. Too bad. It's the same for both sides. Like, so fine, you can't go to your strength. Well, if your strength is all you've got... Well, then you weren't that good to begin with. That's how I look at it.
So I ultimately agree with Mass. To me, games like this weed out the frauds, right? They do. They do.
I gotcha.
So I'm totally okay with it. and I've always loved these games. I do.
I'm just,
you know, playing devil's advocate here because I think Paul's point's an interesting point. This isn't going to be a real football game in some, you know, again, in some respects. Like, I'd look at it and say, well, that's real football. But in other respects, it's...
These teams aren't going to be able to be their best in this type of weather.
They're not going to be able to be themselves. It turns into something totally different.
Yeah.
It turns into Survivor. That's
Survival.
Survival. It turns into survival. Right? How do you stay warm? How do you stay heated? What do you do in the locker room? Like, it's like this whole other thing that has nothing to do with covering Tyreek Hill or covering James White or sending pressure or not sending pressure or mush rushing Mahomes around. All these X's and O's things that we're going to talk about this week and have, they kind of go out the window. And it's as much about what kind of cleats are you wearing? Have the Chiefs screwed around with your locker room? And is it going to be too hot or too cold? Are the heaters going to work on the sideline? Are they going to give... What sideline are you on? Is that a crappier end to be on for whatever reason? Like Gillette, it's shady on one side and sunny. Like it turns into like all these other things that's not real, that was not a factor over the first 4 months of the season.
I mean, the conditioning ultimately factors in here too, because to be out in that weather and to be working as hard as those guys are, like you're worn down. Just standing around, you're worn down if you're out in that kind of condition for 40 minutes, you know, let alone 3 hours.
As a fan, do you like watching it? As a fan, this, again, 43-40 in normal conditions. Two of the top four scoring offenses in the league. One of the most prolific offenses in the Chiefs in, you know, years, right? That rivaled you in 2007. Surpassed you in some statistical measures. But they're not going to be able to... I mean, it's good for the Patriots in one respect.
No question it is.
It slows down the Chiefs, so it's good for you. But what if it's, you know, what if it wasn't good for you? Right? What if it wasn't good for you? I mean, maybe in 07, you sort of wilted down the stretch for a lot of reasons. I don't think you were a particularly tough team in 2007, and that sort of showed. Maybe you got into the weather. Maybe Randy got into the weather in 2007 in a cold AFC title game, and you stunk in that AFC title game. Maybe that's it. Maybe the cold sort of weeded you out, and tougher competition weeded out that 2007 team. I absolutely do think that's what happened, frankly. But, you know, and I know the Super Bowl was in a dome, but you faced a tough defensive team, and you wilted. And, you know, no shock there with a Randy Moss team. That usually happens to his teams. So maybe it weeds out the frauds. So that's what I like. It weeds out the frauds. But it's, you could see someone saying, this isn't really a football game.
Yeah, no, listen, the game's going to be different. The game's going to change. The nature of the game is going to change. But that's what I like about it. You can't go to your strength now. Now what are you going to do?
I'm sorry, Murray. Are you saying you don't like it?
I ultimately don't, because I want to see. So neutral fan me likes it because, you know, I get to watch teams, and from an aesthetic value, it looks cool or anything like that.
But, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but for, you know, I want the Patriots to win, and I want to see these two teams play at their best like they did in October, and I just think it's going to water it down a little bit, or it's going to muddy it up because these teams are going to be slowed because of this weather. Time and again, when you see these type of games in these kind of conditions, you're not going to see teams at their best.
I love them. I do. I absolutely love them. And I was looking over the list of...
But Murray's so right. You're not going to see these teams at their best.
No. So what? I don't care. I don't watch for the high-flying air show. I watch for the competition.
And then Big Jim worry part of me? I mean, I'm worried about the kicker and any kicker anyway. But this guy in this game on the road in those conditions, ooh, good. Like, I don't know. I just got like a bad thing in my stomach thinking about that.
Okay, but again, like to me, that comes back to mental toughness and the ability to sort of withstand the elements. So if he can't hack it, he can't hack it. Maybe he can. Maybe the other guy will crap his pants or just won't be able to kick a rock. I have no idea. I like it. And again, as I was looking over, you remember the one Green Bay and the Giants had one in Green Bay?
Weeded out the frauds. Brett Favre wanted off that field.
Oh, I loved that game.
He was done. Favre was done.
This is part of the reason
it's
I
like,
think.
Get me out of here. I'm going to start chucking it. He throws an interception the first drive of overtime, and that's that. It weeded out the frauds. Favre was a fraud at that point.
It's part of the reason to me that I respect Eli Manning. That game sticks out to me. He played a game in San Francisco. We got the snot beat out of him, and they won. Like, those games to me make me look at guys who are competitors and say, that's a guy I want. That guy. And so this is going to be that kind of game. Line up, freeze your ass off, smash heads, and try see who can win 13-10.
Everyone assumes it favors the Patriots?
I think it does.
Stylistically, it does. No question. It slows down the Chiefs. Absolutely. Again, the thing I mentioned yesterday, let's just see how much game, you know, what you would call gamesmanship Kansas City employs. Others would call it just being an a-hole. But You know, you can screw around with the locker room temperature. You can screw around with where you make them park the bus. You can do all that stuff that the Patriots like to do. So I always think that you're just, and I said yesterday, you're more likely to be able to get comfortable if you're at home. And the Chiefs have the comfort of home, and the Patriots are going to be trying to get comfortable in a foreign environment, in a place they haven't been in 4 years, 5 years. When was it? So it's like that, I think, favors the home team. But you ran the numbers, Maz. Games played under 10 degrees or 20 degrees?
Okay, so I did it just since 1980. So starting in 1981, okay, I just tried to give a sample. Sure. There, essentially, you know, 40 years.
Was that the Bengals-Chargers AFC title game? Because Cincinnati played San Fran in the Super Bowl in 81. That might have been that San Diego at Cincinnati AFC title game that was cold as nuggets.
Yeah, could have been. I just started it there because it was 1981.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. I didn't want to go into the 70s.
Yeah, go ahead,
I think
ahead,
the game's
ahead.
Different. But there have been 9 games. Actually, there's actually been 10 played in under 10 degrees. Okay? One of them is in Dallas, which has a retractable roof, so I threw that one out. That to me doesn't qualify.
That was in the new Jerry Dome?
It was in 2015, no. I think, the old place.
The old place wasn't, it was open.
Yeah, but it was sort half open.
It was
open.
Half. It was, well, it had a little hole through it. You know what the saying was, you know what Jerry said, or the old saying Dallas had a little hole in the top so God could look through the top and see his team play.
Okay. Yeah, blah. Like, go shove it. But to me, that's not a true outdoor game. There's no wind coming in from the
sides.
Yeah,
side. No, I like, hear you. I saw
so I threw that one out.
I mean, tell Leon let that, but okay. Anyway, go ahead. Throw
okay,
it out.
Okay, so 9 games. Road team is 5-4, and which effectively means to me
that's a big number for the road
sure
team.
Sure it is, absolutely. But it does tell you that home field advantage is largely negated. It's a coin flip. The game becomes a coin flip because you're talking about playoff. I didn't do regular season. I did only playoffs. Because
yeah.
regular season, if the Patriots are playing the Bills, who gives a rat's ass? Yeah. Okay, so I did playoff games. And the number that really stuck out to me, total points on average in those games, 31.2.
Wow.
Combined.
That's the over-under.
Which means you are getting a 16-15 game. Only one team in those 9 got to 30. And that was exactly 30. No one else got higher than, you know, in the 20s.
Do you remember off the top of your head what that was?
I had the list and left it on my desk at home, but I can get it again in a second.
Always. Which is why I'm stunned the OU is still 55 in this game. Is that right? The total's still 55 the last time I looked?
Feels like an easy bet.
Doesn't it? But then again, I don't know.
It is 55.5.
55.5. And historically, the over-under in games, I'm sorry, is it under 10 or 20, Maz? I'm sorry, I know you said it.
Under 10 degrees.
Under 10 degrees. It's the average over-under is 31.
31.4 points.
That pretty, feels like easy money.
That's a pretty big gap. Famous last words, Murray. You know how many people have said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know, right? Today's NFL, it's as open up as ever, so I wouldn't be shocked if you saw 41-40.
Right, here's a question for the people. Do you like these kind of games? Do you like them? Do you like them? Simple question to you right after these words.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports
Hub.
Bill, the forecast for Sunday is temperatures in the single digits, wind chill below zero. How does that impact preparations for the game and perhaps
playing out the game? Yeah, we're getting ready for the Chiefs, whatever it is, it is.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to play in a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
Does it change the play calling? Does it make it harder to throw?
I don't know. It's Wednesday. We'll see what happens Sunday night. Right now, we're getting ready for the Chiefs.
Wednesday. He engaged it. If you listen to the conference call yesterday, he engaged it a little bit. But today, I mean, I know the deal. He doesn't want the sound clip. He doesn't want the sound bite out there. You know, those conference calls, it's tough to use that sound, especially because he's talking on a conference call out here and he's typing out emails and he's rebooting his computer and throwing snot rockets into the speakerphone. But the podium sound, they run on the NFL networks, and all, he does not want the sound bite of him giving the weather any credence this week because, you know, this game he plays with his team, that we're playing the Chiefs, not the weather, right? So that's why he does that. Yesterday on the conference call, he engaged it a little bit. He did. We try and practice for it. If we can, if we can't, we adjust. It's obviously a factor. He said to him, but no way, shape, and form. Does that mean we're not preparing for the Chiefs? We're preparing for the Chiefs, but of course it's a factor. He engaged it yesterday knowing that sounds hard to use. This stuff, no, he's not going there.
I mean, I think it's a massive factor. And I think it's a huge, my personal opinion, huge, huge break for the Patriots. Huge. Kansas City's faster. They want to play up and down the field. They want to play a track meet. They've been doing it all year long. So your highest scoring team in the league, all of that. They want a track meet. They're not going to be able to play a track meet in 4-degree weather.
Okay, but again, as a fan, you'd rather see a 17-16 cold weather survival contest than a 38-35 shootout between Brady and Mahomes.
Sure, every now and then, yeah. Yeah. And now, again, I don't want it weekly, but to me, that's what makes these games special. Part of the, I mean, again, I looked up a 40-year sample and found 10. 10, you get one of these like every 4 years on average. That's what you get. Every 4 years. It's like a presidential election, for crying out loud. So I will, again, to me, these games are the equivalent of like a bare knuckles fight. That's what they are. It's all about the tough guys on days like this.
All right, folks. You like these kind of games? And try and separate the fact that it helps the Patriots this week. Okay, of course you like it this week. In general, do you? Phil and Malden, lead us off.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. You old guys might not remember it, but I was at Fenway Park, the old Boston Patriots, when they got blown out in the cold, and I was at the snow game with Oakland, and I love this kind of weather. I think the Patriots could beat Kansas City if they played in an igloo or if they played on Lake Michigan. I think they're going to win big, and I'm waiting for your prediction on Friday.
Oh, no, you don't need to wait. Chiefs are going to win. And if you make the Super Bowl, the NFC is going to win. I got the field every week, so you don't need to wait for my prediction. This is different than the Snow Bowl. This is different than that Raiders thing. But it just wasn't that cold that Raiders night. Now, the footing obviously was a pretty big issue. But, you know, if you're a Raider fan, you look at it and you say, well, you know, that's not really a true gauge of who these teams are. That was something less than a real football game. You could see that if you're a Raiders fan. Look, I feel this way. I feel this way, following teams, Patriots, Packers, when you have to go into a dome and play some mamby-pamby dome arena football team in the middle of December or January. I always look at those dome games and say, well, this isn't real football. This is freaking arena ball. And so I always, always look at those dome teams, and I look down on those dome teams. I look down on them because you don't play real football.
Yeah, like Indy last week.
Yeah, you go.
Right,
yes.
Now, again, it wasn't frigid like it's going to be this Sunday, but they went into Kansas City. All of a sudden, you take Indy out of the dome, and they look soft. But my point is, if that's who you are, then you're not a championship team. Like, I believe that. You know, that at some point, and anybody who coaches or plays football knows it. At some point, you're probably going to come across something like this. So you better be prepared for it.
Matt in Framingham, how you doing, buddy? What do you got?
Hey, how you doing? I'm surprised that the Patriots are even in this spot. I thought San Diego with the pass rush up the middle, they were going to disrupt Brady, but it was the other side. It was the other way around. You know, Rivers looked like he was being rushed by 7 guys when he was only 4. But, the way I feel about this game is as far as the cold weather, and I would think that you would agree, Felga, in Green Bay, but, I like the cold weather games. And like Matt said, you know, not all season, but, you know, at this time of the year. And I think that it's going to benefit the Patriots. Now, Kansas City, yes, they play in cold weather as well. But who hasn't? Patrick Mahomes. This will be his first real cold weather game. He's a rookie. But as far as the over-under, well, it's at 55. And I actually like the over. I don't think it's going to be a 17-13 game.
Okay, if you still think they're scoring in that, historically, again, Matt said it. So 9 games since 1981 that have been played in 10 degrees or lower, playoff games, the highest ever anyone got was 30. That was the Packers in 1996.
Correct.
Looked it up for me.
Yep, 30-13.
The year they went on to play you. They beat Carolina at home. That's the only time a team got to 30. And the average total, according to Maz, of those 9 single-digit playoff games was 31.
31.4 points combined.
And this over-under is still at 55.5.
Yeah, it feels like stealing, right?
Which, again, I will say, famous last words.
Of course. Like, you never know how these things go. I'll just tell you that I like the lineup and smack each other around and, you know, punt the ball and dig in and fight for the win. You have to fight for the win this week.
Scott in Weymouth. Hi, Scott.
What's up, guys? What's up? All right, I'm with Maz. Here we go. In and out, Felger. Maz, I'm with you. This is football, and it's what makes it very unique and very enjoyable sport. Some Sundays you might play and it might be 90 degrees. Then you may play another Sunday and it's minus 5. Let's go to the over-under real quick, and then we're going to talk about home field advantage. The over-under, trust me, I've learned this the hard way. Whenever it looks too easy, it usually goes the other way. So believe this or not, I love the under so much, I'm going to bet the over on Sunday because it's probably going to be a 41-20 game. Now, as for home
field... Let me just stop you. You get 2 points, not three. The thing about real football, I'm all for it. Believe me, I am, and I'm just sort of playing devil's advocate here to give you the other side because I think there is another side. I love, like everybody else, curling up in my jammies in front of a fire with a bad weather football game on.
Neutral fan me loves this as... rooting interest, because I want the Pats to win this. I hate that this is affecting this. I really do.
Really?
I would rather just be like 45 degrees. And both these teams are at their best. The Pats can open it up offensively. I really think I'll be stunned if either of these teams gets over like 23 points.
Okay, so, but my next point was, if we're going to play real football, let's play real football and get the grass back at Gillette. I mean, why don't we just do that? Because you can do it. It's only money. You can figure it out. You can. Green Bay does it. Kansas City does it. Baltimore ripped up their artificial turf and put back in a hybrid grass field. You can do it. Philly does it. Places do it. It's only money. It's only money, and it's managing the concerts and it's managing everything else. You could put grass in there.
I'm in.
You have the you have the brain power. You got the money. Just put it in. Let's play real football again, as opposed to this track meet that you get going down there on your cheap artificial turf. I say cheap, like, you know, like your cheesy artificial turf is what I mean. You know, turf. So let's, if we're going to play real, I mean, you don't really quite play real football because whenever you get on nature's surface, this year you're 1-4, I think, on grass.
That's right.
Okay. And other years, not so hot. The last couple times I saw you play on grass, it was a disaster. Miami disaster. Tennessee. Was it the Tennessee game? They were falling all over the place. Like, what happened to the attention to detail and every stone unturned and, you know, preparing for everything? Again, when Bill engaged on the topic yesterday on the conference call, he went on and on about the practice and blah, you know, about how they got all those bases covered and there's not a situation that we're going to face that we don't ordinarily practice. It's rare that that would happen. So, you know, what happened with your footing in Tennessee? They were all over the place.
Yeah, they weren't ready for that.
So let's get grass back at Gillette. Let's play real football here because you're only playing like half real football here.
Fine by me. I mean, I'm in.
I mean,
if you want to play it on grass and keep it cold, I'm in.
What I really miss, and I've talked about this before, I hate that all the football fields are the same. I mean, growing up, Maz, it felt like, and I'm just going to pick a number, a third of the teams played on dual stadiums for the baseball team, and every month you'd be playing on a ball game on the infield dirt of a baseball diamond.
Oakland
did it, and the Packers played in Milwaukee. Atlanta. Did it. San Diego, Atlanta, Miami had to do it for a little bit. There were just a lot. You know, it just happened quite a bit, it feels like to me. Cleveland had to do it, right? Didn't they? At Municipal Stadium?
I think they did.
Did they? I'm trying to remember. But anyway, there was a lot of situations like that where you played on. I loved that. I loved that. And not that I would want to do it every week. But it's, again, all right, now here's, like you've been saying, here's a little something else to test how complete you are and can you withstand it and do you have mental toughness? Or just when fields used to get really muddy. I mean, fields used to get really, now they've, again, in Green Bay and I think Baltimore, they have this sort of hybrid thing where the fields are beautiful even at this time of year, which makes no sense because we all know grass can't grow in November. So no grass is growing, but they somehow have kept it together with a little sort of, I think they weave it with some artificial stuff. I don't even know exactly how they do it. So even like the grass fields are, they're okay. I miss the occasional slop. I do.
I like it. Again, I like these games. And I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority here because the world has changed so much. There were a lot of people who didn't grow up with those games. But to me, I think that you get into that kind of game and, you know, the imagery of a linebacker standing, you know, 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, breathing, and you can see the steam coming out of his nostrils. Like, I just love that. I love that where a guy goes out there and says, no, you're going to come through here and your guy's going to hand it off and we are going to collide and it is going to hurt so much because it's so effing cold. And to me, so who's going to last? Let's find out, because that's what it is. it really is a test of like endurance and the ability, as you said, survival.
Okay, so we're going to mix in. So we're going to be mostly Patriots, obviously Chiefs today. And we're starting with this. We have some more things to get to throughout the day. I do want to mix in a little Celtics. I do. Because I think tonight might be their season. I think tonight might be their season. And when I say that, if they win, I'm not telling you they've saved their season. But I think if they lose, well, I'll say my thought for you right after the break. We're going to mix in just a little bit of Celtics. So a C's minute right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We just got to have each other's back. At the end of the day, we can't make comments, can't point fingers. We just got to continue to empower each other and have each other's back. If we don't, when we start pointing fingers, everybody's going to go into their own little shell. We got to continue to play basketball. It starts from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. So.
Again, hard to hear, but Jaylen Brown, following Kyrie Irving, really laying into the young players on Saturday in Orlando. Jaylen Brown comes out after they got their ass kicked in Brooklyn, says we can't point fingers. Have to continue to empower each other and have each other's backs. If we don't, if we start pointing fingers, everybody's going to go into their own little shells. We've got to continue to play basketball. It starts from the top to the bottom, Maz, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom.
I mean, what a comment.
Absolutely calling out Kyrie Irving.
Absolutely he is. And you know what? Again, I extend it. I say top to the bottom. So he's clearly talking about Kyrie. And then if I were Stevens or even Ainge, I'd also take that personally because you're at the top. Now, I don't know if he's limiting it to players or what. But the problem is the young guys on this team think they are entitled to the same thing the old guys are. And you know, and I just think that there's a hierarchy. Always. Okay. You got to earn your stripes.
Here comes Toronto. Best record in basketball. Notice I didn't say the best team. I think the best team reestablished itself last night. If you saw Golden State, Denver.
They must get 150 points or something like that.
51 in the first quarter. You know, Denver was ahead of them pretty much the whole run here.
It was 51-38 after the first quarter.
So, you know, I'm not telling you best team. But best record is still Toronto. Best record. You're 7 games behind the Raptors. And this isn't really about the standings. Best team in the East, national TV. You're frankly a hot mess, okay? But you've had success against Toronto in the past. You've had another chance to sort of reset, circle the wagons. Another wake-up call. Steeple Pett had a good line in the Herald today called the Raptors smelling salts, right? It's like a smelling salt kind of game. So, Celts can win this. It's a good sign. I don't think they saved their season because we've seen this a million times, right, Murray?
Oh, yeah.
They've had a good game or a good run, and then they go right in the other direction.
Week ago tonight against Indiana.
So we need to see sustained excellence for, you know, weeks, if not, you know, a month.
Well, this is why.
But hold on. So if they win, it doesn't end the story. If they lose, oy, like they're teetering as it is. Now they lose or they get, you know, God forbid, blown out. Oof. Oy, you know, and, you know, never mind the standings. There's a practical matter here. If you're not catching Toronto, you're not going to catch the teams at the top of the conference, which means you've got multiple road series to get to the finals, which you're not going to be able to survive. But then there's just the whole, you know, wow. So I think tonight's the season. I'm sorry, Murray.
Well, no, and I do think they have to factor in the standings in terms of tonight's game and looking at the next couple of weeks. 10 of their next 13, they're at home. So if you're going to try to make a little bit of a run in the East and try to get to near Milwaukee or at least the 3 seed, you've got to start making hay starting tonight because they've at least been good at home. 15-5 at home. I still think there's real issues here. I don't know how anyone can look at this team and not think that. But if you can win tonight, go on a nice little run here in the next couple of weeks, you might be able to crawl into the 3 seed.
I have no idea what to expect. None. I mean, maybe that's the most stunning thing of all. It's like I look at it and say, it wouldn't shock me if they lost by 18. Like, given the infighting and all the little petty bull crap that's going on. And again, you know, there was a story that came out late yesterday on Yahoo with a comment from Terry Rozier talking about why it hasn't come together. And he said, too much talent. Too talented. And I heard that and went, what?
What do you mean by that? Like a guy like me can't be free.
Exactly.
I don't get to shine.
Right.
Shut up.
I'm a super talented guy and I don't get a chance.
Yeah. But the idea that what it tells me is that these guys, guys like him, well, I'm not getting my time because we get too much talent on the team. So you'd rather play than win, right? Like, you'd rather play more for a bad team than play less on a potential championship participant, right? Now, again, I don't know if they're winning the title this year anyway, but they should be right there for the East.
Considering what's happened, the worst thing that could have happened to this group is making it as deep into the playoffs as they did last year. I'm starting to believe that because these younger guys now think the way that Terry Rozier is talking. Like, I need my time. I want my minutes. There's too much talent.
Who do we blame again, Murray, though?
Fan base.
Well, right. Yeah, that's...
The Green Teamers.
They're corrupted. The young guys are corrupted. And I say that, like, as much as we sat here and said, well, the benefit in this, in Kyrie getting hurt and in Hayward getting hurt, is that the young guys are going to develop more. It might have been a curse.
Yep. You gave him an inflated sense of self-worth. Go chanting MVP for scrubs. You know, cute nicknames and the, it just fed on it. You know, Tommy Heinsohn.
I mean, they helped turn him into Isaiah Thomas 2.0. They really did with Terry Rozier.
What you did with Isaiah, you did with Rozier. You did the exact same thing. But all these guys, I mean, and every recent incarnation, you know, overrated Crowder and Bradley and that whole group, and you know, overrated the thing last year. And it's just, and so they begin to believe the bullcrap. And so that's part of it. That's part of it. But just tonight, I mean,
well, if they lose,
massive game, massive.
It's a season. If they lose, it's over. It's over.
You reset your expectations. Like, you're not going to make any kind of deep playoff run. It has to start tonight.
If they lose tonight, they're 3.5 behind Philly for the 4 seed. Okay, so I don't really follow. I typically don't follow the NBA standings this closely because it's, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's. I should, because home court means everything. But usually, there's only 2 or 3 teams that can win the championship. So what's the diff? Who's the 4 and the 5? So I don't follow it that closely to know. Like, in hockey, it's really hard as the season goes on to make big moves in the standings because of that loser point. And it's just, so that I know. Once you're in the playoffs, it's really hard. You got to really collapse, Claude, to get, you know, work your way out of them. In basketball, I don't know how it works. I don't know if, you know, is a 3.5 game lead with 38 to go or whatever it is, is that a big lead or not in basketball? I don't follow it closely enough to know. I've never tracked the 4-5 seeding before. Maybe I can ask Grandy. But here's where it stands. If you lose tonight, you're 3.5 behind Philly for the 4 seed. You'd be 4.5 behind the Pacers for the 3. You'd be 8 in the loss column to Toronto, to Milwaukee. 9 in the loss column to Toronto.
Yeah, forget the 1 seed if you lose tonight.
And
forget it. It's over.
And also, then what does it do to you emotionally? And it's sort of like...
They can still be the 3 or 4 seed. And you know, look, if Milwaukee cools off, they can get, you know... Toronto's not going to cool off. You lose tonight, forget it. You're playing at Toronto in the conference final at a minimum. You might be anyway.
So if you don't get to the 2, though, you're playing the 2nd round on the road, too. So tonight's it. Tonight's it. And oh, by the way, it can only go one way. If you win, I'm not telling you saved your season. I'm just telling you you've...
Avoided disaster.
You've avoided disaster, and where do you go from here? Okay, if you win, that's what it is. You avoid disaster, and what's next? If you lose, over. Over. And God forbid this team's a one and done. God forbid that happens. So there's your Celtics take. Did you enjoy it? It's a long commercial-free segment. Right back to your phones on this and the cold weather stuff. As a fan, do you like them? Do you like these games? We'll get right back to that after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh! Love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Let me throw one more thing into this conversation, and that is the weather, okay? Everyone by now has probably seen the forecast for Kansas City on Sunday. If you haven't, it's not pretty. It's a high of 8 degrees on a mostly cloudy, windy night. By the way, there'll be a lunar eclipse, so it's what's called a red moon over Arrowhead. Take that for whatever it's worth. But, Dominique, you know, someone will say, well, this is great hitting weather. What do you think?
I mean, if you see somebody on Twitter, Instagram, or on any of these shows say this is football weather, you tell them absolutely not. That's the dumbest thing. I hate when I hear that you see some snow and they're like, it's football weather. No, that's not football weather. Football is most popular in the South. It don't snow down there.
How hard is it to play in weather
that's
like
great
this?
Points. Greeny, when it's cold, I played the game like this, 2004 divisional game against Tennessee Titans. And it, man, listen, it was the worst game that I ever played in. Literally, it felt like every hit, your bones were breaking. Bones were breaking every time you hit. And all I remember is we were out there and we were talking to the Tennessee Titans. And the first thing, one of the things we kept saying, man, I want to help them get this game over with. Because it is cold out here.
You used a different way to describe the way it feels.
Electrocution is how you feel, okay? When you know that first initial pop, when you played in the trenches, that first initial hit, when your hands make contact or when your body makes contact, it feels like you're getting electrocuted. Your body goes numb.
That's the panel this morning on the Greenberg Show. In case you haven't noticed, I watched the Greenberg Show. Our buddy Damian Woody was the second voice there. Dominic Foxworth, that crew, talking about it's not like I consider it a real football game, but you can make the case it's not a real football game, like Foxworth said. Like, that's not real football.
No, he made a good point about the South. I mean, I hadn't considered that. But again, the football that I remember growing up in January, you're going to play in Pittsburgh. You're going to have games at that time. And they played a lot in Cleveland, Cincinnati. Like, cold. Kansas City's another one. Cold places.
Okay, I love these games. I do. But there's a case to be made. It's not a real football. It's not how these teams were built. You're not going to get their best. It's really more about survival than it is about the execution of the X and O's. And do you want that for a championship match? Do you like these kind of games? Jim in South Boston, do you like these kind of games? Jim!
Oh, no, I hate the games.
Why?
Why do you think most of the Super Bowls are played in domes? Both teams can put a show on. Big Jim Murray got it right. Mash should stick to baseball.
Okay. Jim, thanks for the call. Tremendous. I mean, I think there's... I don't feel that way, but if you want a accurate gauge of what each team is, it's got to be a representative environment that's, you know, equal to both teams, and that's how you get the best out of each team and the best possible game.
Yeah, sure. And again, look, I overall in the regular season, like the product, you want points, you want all that. I understand that. In a championship game that tests metal, I don't mind it. I like it.
Yeah, I think
again, I like the Super Bowl in New York that year.
Yes, me too. Absolutely. I think these games weed out the frauds. I think they do. And again, last week in Foxborough was really not that bad. I did not consider that a weather game. But if it really did impact the Chargers, then it, you know, sort of brings out their fraudulence. I think these games weed out the frauds. Jim in Beverly, what do you got?
Hey, Mike, just real quick on the Celtics before I get to the field. I don't know if you saw the commercial. Nike's rolling out this brand new sneaker that you can use an app on your phone to tighten the laces.
Oh, God.
And who got the deal? Tatum got the deal. You think that went over well with Kyrie?
So, you know there's all that stuff behind the scenes about that crap. Yes, probably.
Oh, no doubt about it. Mike. Now, the other thing about this game, yeah, it's going to be freezing cold, 3 degrees. This field is heated. This isn't the frozen tundra. I wonder how that's going to translate. 3 degrees, but the field is heated. What, are you going to have condensation? You're going to have steam?
No.
This could be nuts.
That's interesting. I mean, the last week's field, I mean, it was cold last week, but the field was muddy or sloppy, right?
Right. Well, they had weather. Right. I mean,
they had snow. Yeah, they had snow.
You know, precipitation is what I should have said. So I wonder that when it's 3-4 degrees... If the field's heated and there's condensation, you know what's going to happen?
So it freezes.
It freezes instantly.
The Ice Bowl, the famous Packers-Dallas game from 1967, Lombardi had the field heated too. It broke at some point, and that's why it was a sheet of ice, because it had moisture in it, the pipes broke, his heating system broke, and so the thing froze. So, yes, that's on the table.
I mean, I just think it's going to be so damn cold. I think they say that once you get under like minus 12 Celsius, which is about 10 degrees, once you get under that, it can start freezing like borderline instantly.
Minus 12 Celsius, Murray. 12 Celsius. You got that computation?
No.
Yeah.
This isn't Canada.
Why are you throwing Celsius at us?
Why
would you throw Celsius?
This is America.
At us? What is that?
I said which is like minus 10 Fahrenheit.
But why would you start with Celsius?
10 degrees Fahrenheit.
Good God.
Tough's education.
I Googled it the other day from my backyard.
How's that coming in, by the way? Is it frozen?
Tremendous.
Yeah.
It froze fast because it was really cold.
Minus 12 Celsius. Yeah. Cam and Taunton. Go ahead, Cam. What do you got?
The Celtics, I have a litmus test for them. The next six games, go 6-0. You got starting with Toronto tonight and it ends with Golden State next Saturday. And in between, you have Memphis, Atlanta on the road, Miami and Cleveland. Only one of those games on the road, and I don't want to hear back-to-back. It's freaking Atlanta. Those are four teams with a combined record of 63-110 and a combined road record, if you exclude Atlanta, of 22-32. Win those two big games against Toronto and Golden State and don't trip up to some scrub team in the middle like you've been doing all year long. Get your heads out of your rear ends, Start playing as a team, because what you're putting on the court right now is an abject disgrace.
Okay. Starts tonight. They lose tonight, it's over.
I mean, they just went to Miami, Orlando, and Brooklyn and went 0-3. 0-3.
And come back from the trip hating each other worse than ever. Calling each other out, pointing fingers, going to the media, yelling at the coach, yelling at your teammates, probably getting sat for some sort of de facto suspension or mental health day or something, your number one player.
And also with
sat, and now they come off the plane and they hate each other worse than ever.
With Kyrie Irving after the win over the Indiana Pacers, you know, talking about that meeting where they cleared the air after that ugly loss to Milwaukee. We weren't at rock bottom. Everything's fine now. It couldn't be worse.
Yeah, they got too much talent.
Dan in Charlestown jumps on with a point that I would like to engage on. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Dan.
Can Paul Perillo, is he really going to come on here and say that this game doesn't count because it's cold?
Well, why don't we wait? No one says that. It's just he doesn't like these games as a fan.
Call Green Bay, call Dallas. They got to give the ice ball back. It didn't count. It was too cold.
So, if we're going to give back that Packers win in the 67 NFL championship game, you got to take back the Snow Bowl. Fair enough. I mean, or that win over the Titans. So, I mean, I'll make that swap. You want to take back the Snow Bowl? You take back the Snow Bowl, I don't know how many championships you have. So you want to do that, we'll do it. I mean, you want to start peeling them back, I'll peel them back. No problem.
I mean, has anyone at any point ever said, well, the Raiders would have won it that year, but they got snow in that game?
Oh, I think you can make that case.
I didn't say make the case. Is that the way we look at it?
Oh, I don't. And I've never actually heard anyone say it. But I don't know. Maybe in Oakland they do.
I know, but I don't...
Think what it took for the Raiders to lose that game.
See, I think it's one of the few sports, though, where you can't blame the weather. Like, you know, I shouldn't say one of the few, but that's like one of those... So it was a snow game, so win the snow game. You pansy. Like, it's going to be cold, it's going to suck. I like it. I like the fact that you have to line up in horrid weather. Sorry, Damian Woody. Sorry. But you're going to have to line up in bad weather and smack the other guy around to win.
Easy for you to say. Want to say goodbye to someone real quick. Ben Millett is one of our NBC Sports Boston directors. Producers?
Both.
I think it's both. He's the one that gets this thing on the air. There's Ben right there. So show yourself, Ben. Thanks for all your help. We appreciate it. Ben's going on to Fox 25. Say hello to the wood for me, all right? I hear she's very nice to the people.
See you, Ben.
Okay, Ben, thanks again. We appreciate it. Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.